Good evening, everybody. Into the West with no points, coming home at 1 point. A score draw, better than a nil-nil. Again, another poor first half performance. We're going to bring in some experts to kind of break down what happened. Live from the M1 with his 5G, it is Cooley, double shield winner Chris Clark. and Donald, not double shield winner, but not Tom Hanks' son, Hanks.
No, Donald never achieved anything, Hanks.
Jesus. Lads, a point on the road.
Ben, by the way,
yeah, he can't hear it. He's asleep. It's fine.
A point on the road, albeit you know we're looking for a bit more. But I mean, you know, Chris, you know, as I suppose we can talk about the first half. Obviously, that's where the goal scored. So we're definitely going to start there, as we do with all podcasts, no matter how dire it is. But it is, again, we have got off to a slow start. It's a pretty poor half from both teams, really, with the exception of the goal. What was your take on it? You know, I know you haven't seen the highlights, but what you've read on Twitter, you know, are we just getting to that game where we're probably slow to start again, maybe, and it takes a wee time to get into our rhythm?
Yeah, it seems to be that. It seems to be we are a slow kind of starting team. We're going to give teams the opportunity to come back at us until we get up to speed. Whether that's still just a bedding in time for a lot of these new players, I don't know. But I suppose on the positive side of that is, we've conceded a goal in that. We'll talk about the goal very shortly. But like, it is only one, which meant we had an opportunity to get back in that game as long as it was kept to there. But it's still a little hangover that was there from last year, allowing other teams to score first, and then we've got to come back on that. So it's still something that hasn't been rectified since last year. We fell behind so many times last year, and unfortunately, that's still an issue for us. But I suppose the big positive is, one, we actually won a penalty. How did that happen? What were we doing up in the opposition box? And obviously we scored it too, and we scored a goal. Like, that's the positives to take for it. But yeah, we got to stop giving teams that opportunity to get in the lead against us. That's definitely the big problem. But look, it's under this, you know, interim management. We've played 3 games. We've had 2 draws. You know, we've only conceded 2 goals. That's night and day compared to the opening fixtures.
Yeah, Donald, obviously, look, we still remain kind of, you know, we haven't won a game, albeit, you know, we at the performance are improving, like Chris says. Are we seeing something, you know, we'll talk about the second half, I suppose, later on, but, you know, was there an overall feeling of tonight that, right, this management team, like Chris has just mentioned, we know they're not going to be there for the long term as such due to license issues and things like that, but, you know, are they at least getting something out of them, albeit later on in the game? You know, we can kind of cast aside a little first half that we're kind of, look, that's going to be the story of our season. This team's going to get off the slow start probably for most of the season. For, you know, I know what are we, 12, 11 games into the season, but, you know, is it good in a way that we're now seeing a team that can slow start, but then are gradually coming into the game rather than going the other way?
Yeah, like, I think we've obviously had the slowest start in the history of time for the entire season. So hopefully the back end of the season we improve and get something out of the season. But I think that everybody was probably thinking the worst when we went behind. And we weren't playing well, like, the first half hour, really. We weren't really playing well. But I think it reminded me a lot of last season, like Chris said. Like, that's the kind of thing that we did last season, that we'd give a goal away from, like, one shot on target and we were behind. And then we couldn't break teams down, we couldn't create chances. Like, that is a problem that we had last season that's carried over into this year. So, without, like, different management for the last 2 games or 3 games, whatever. So, it's clearly an issue with the squad, or it goes beyond the management team, because this is the same sort of thing that's been happening now for 2 years. But I think the good sign is that they didn't give up. We never expected the team to give up. Like, but when we think back to what happened the last time we played Sligo, going behind early, I think, like I said, I think everybody was probably a little bit worried, but there was a good bit of fight in the team, and they didn't let the same things happen again. And like, they have improved, the performances have gotten better. It's just, I think we're getting to the point now where a point away to Sligo after going behind in isolation is a good result. But we can't look at this in isolation anymore because we really have to start picking points up. I know it's early, but it's not as early as it was 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were saying this. We can't just keep being like, right, that's a good point. Because it is a good point, but we need wins from somewhere. And I can't help feeling like that was a good chance to get one tonight. Like Sligo haven't, I think Sligo have only scored in one home game this season. So they struggle for goals at home or have struggled for goals at home. So this was another opportunity, I think. Yeah, like a point is good, but I just have a feeling like that's a missed opportunity considering where we are and where Sligo are.
Yeah, I think like even that comment from Sean there has come in, and I think a lot of on Twitter, I don't mean to just talk about Twitter, just on social media, that's where we'd get a lot of the details from. But you know, like you say, don't, like, it could have been a missed opportunity. We had, you know, albeit we talk about the goal now, I think that's probably our segue in there, because there is a lot of comments on that online. But you know, if we take the first half compared to the second half, we probably come away a little disappointed with the draw. But then when you look at the first half, the glaring obvious thing is that, you know, there seems to be a lot of comments tonight online. You know, Chris, you had mentioned just off air before we come on with a brief chat, the goalkeeping, you know, for the goal in particular. Now, Sligo had one or two chances. You know, they were definitely better going forward than we were in the first half, although a poor first half, definitely a poor first half an hour anyway. But, you know, his positioning for the goal, although the commentators rightly said, you're probably not expecting the shot, but I mean, you got to expect from those type of players, you got to expect anything, you know, especially with Donald says they haven't scored a goal, so they're going to be keen to score at home in front of the crowd. But, you know, from the goalkeeping union, yourself and Tom O'Connor, who usually come on the show, and Alan O'Neill, if we can get him back on some stage, I don't know if you want to come on again, but, you know, it's poor position from the goalkeeper. Albeit, like, it's gone into the, as we said, it's the middle right of the goal. I mean, you know, it's sacrilege to allow that kind of shot to come in on top of you like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, look, on the last two shows, I probably leapt to the defence of Shelby, you know, when Steph wouldn't give him his one-on-one save against Pats. And I was like, no, I'm not having that. And I kind of tried to defend him even for the Bulls goal on Monday night, because it came through over the crowd and you can't rush out there and you could be misjudging it. But I don't think there's any defending it tonight. I think the distance out, where it landed in the goal as well, I just think, yeah, he's probably got to do better. It looks like a simple thing, and that he hasn't moved his feet over fast enough. So if you're in goals and you're diving across, when you're diving, you know, if you move your feet, it's much easier to get purchase on your hands and get the distance across the goals quicker. Which is probably why you see a lot of keepers doing, you know, warm-up drills with their feet, fast-moving feet, before matches. But it just looked like he didn't take enough steps over, and then by the time he dives, the ball, he's not even, you know, in the flight of the ball at that stage. But like I said, he'll probably look back and he'll be a little disappointed. I would say the goalkeeping coaches will probably look at that with him, but I'm not too sure who our goalkeeper coach is right now. So he might have to look at this one himself, maybe for the week. I don't know. But yeah, he's going to be disappointed. Yeah, it's come through some players, but the distance out, the fact it's not in top bins and stuff like that, I think, yeah, you're going to be disappointed as a keeper. And I suppose also on that, you know, Bradshaw's not going to be happy. Hartman gets in past way too easy. And then he's lunging out then after. And when he lunges out, he doesn't win the ball. What happens is that creates space for him then to hit that ball into through a crowd of players to block, so the keeper has his vision is blocked. You know, you can't let the player cut in that easy, and then you can't lunge like that then after. So it's I think when Burnsy and Garth look back in this, they'll see, you know, a litany of errors leading to that goal. That's what we've got to stop doing, is giving the opportunity to the opposition like that.
Yeah, and as Mark Carlin points out as well, you know, Shevely has, even last week's game as well, he's put off some tremendous saves. And in fairness, so is Monroe. I think, obviously, what went against George earlier in the season was just that game, that night, you know, in O'Reilly Park. I think whether it's, you know, dropped or harsh. And the lads have obviously come in after Stevie and thought that he deserves his run. And look, there's two sides to it. And yes, he absolutely has got us out of jail. But obviously what's been credible of maybe the stance of the goalkeeper. Yeah, Chris, you're right. You know, like they had cut in once or twice before that as well. And I don't know if it was Bradshaw maybe lost him early in the game. And it seemed to be a little trend that Sligo were working on that. From either side, they seemed to just cut in, and the lads seemed to be at sixes and sevens at the back, albeit, you know, sturdy enough when it came down to it. But they seemed to get at us a little bit coming in from the sides, and that kind of, you know, that plays on players' minds when you're attacking, I suppose. You know that you can get at them, and it's a long first half then. Like, I remember looking at the clock and thinking, God, there's only 30 odd minutes gone here. This is going to be a long night for them if they can't change it at half time. And I suppose, look, Sligo deservedly took the lead, and you know, albeit, I won't say deservedly, but I mean, you know, over the course of the play, they probably got into half time. I think probably they were slightly better than us. That's probably in the final third of the pitch, was we just can't seem to get going there at all this season.
I thought we improved towards the end of the half, and we did get a bit of possession in their final third, and didn't necessarily create a chance as such. But Jamie Gullen had a good header down to, I don't know if it was Robbie Benson that was coming in. Like, that was as close to creating the chances we got. But we did play better. And I think it was important to have that little stretch before halftime where they were in the game a bit, because it's just the mental side of it, that you would start to just be like, the heads would drop and the energy could get sapped out of the team. And I think we lost Mayoa to injury halfway through the first half, and I even thought, like, it was when we brought on the other Zach, that I thought he wasn't fit. I didn't think he was going to be fit enough to be on the bench, and then was thrown in early. I was a bit worried about that as well. But he played very well then the rest of the game. But there's a few little things where you just were worried about the momentum and worried about the team shape and all that kind of stuff, but they did get better as the half went on, and then they carried that into the second half. Second half was very even. I thought it was a pretty even game. Like, Sligo could be sitting doing their podcast, I don't know what it'd be called, but they'd be sitting there thinking, you know, we could have won that, we should have won that match, because they had probably the better of the last 10 minutes. And we'll get on to like the later in the second half in a bit, but I think that last, that like 5-10 minute stretch that we had before halftime was really important to get the heads back into the game and to show, give them a little bit of belief that they could get amongst Sligo and could get on the ball and could create some opportunities, not necessarily goal scoring opportunities, but opportunities to create those goal scoring opportunities, which they have to be able to do that, you know, and they did it for a little bit going into half time, which was encouraging thing for everybody.
And I seem to be obviously, just to start on that second half, we've obviously, you know, had comments coming in for a man of the match. I mean, one thing that that Gartz and, you know, I suppose Bournesy will benefit from is a fit and what looks like a real baller of a player that Stephen O'Donnell really didn't have access to in Dara Keane. I mean, Dara Keane comes on at half time, and Chris, I don't know. I know you haven't seen the match. You've been at Bray, but, you know, he's absolutely, like, he's been now. We've seen him play once or twice bit parts, but he done himself no harm tonight. I mean, you'd be looking, and you've seen the comments coming in tonight. You're looking for him maybe to start games now. I thought he was absolutely excellent when he came on at half time. And that's something maybe Stevie didn't have with whatever injury he was carrying, or maybe the lad or the two boys going to benefit now over the next couple of weeks, however long it takes. Applications for the job are 24th of August or 24th of April, so I'm not really sure how long the boys are going to be in the sideline for, but
maybe they will be there till 24th of August, who knows?
Maybe they will be, the way Mark Allen's on the FAA as well, they could get them all at the same time. But I mean, is that something that the lads are benefiting from now, Dara Keane coming, someone like Dara coming back into the fold? Because I actually thought he was excellent tonight and in the second half.
Yeah, look, I think we've seen Dara in the Pats match. We've seen him a bit in the Bows match then as well. And I think the more minutes he gets, the more impressed you are with him. It's a bit like this, and how many times did we say this last year? I thought Paul Doyle's going to nail down that kind of number six role, if you will, in the middle, but he hasn't. So therefore, it's up for grabs, you know, and if Dara Keane comes in and plays well, then I think you go with the player that's most in form. And then the other side of that is, in particular, when you look back at the Bowes match, the longer that match went on, probably the less of an impact we got from Robbie Benson in that match. So we need options in there. And if Dara Keane can come in and, you know, perform very well and be pushing for a start, that can only benefit us most definitely. I think the boys are definitely benefiting from one or two players coming back, but also, you know, the likes of Zach Bradshaw, you know, seems to be an absolute shining light in that left back position that we didn't have. We were struggling for who's actually going to play there. Now we have that seems to be solved, although he was partly a fault for the goal tonight, but we'll forgive him that. You know, so, and if we've Jamie Gullen, hopefully going to chip in with, you know, we could do it, him scoring another one now on next Friday night when Bowes come to Oriel Park. So if we can get a few players back, a lot more fit, and a few players maybe with a bit more confidence, I think that's what they're going to benefit from the most. Because I think if you think when we conceded in Daly Mount Park on Monday night and when we conceded tonight, like, as Donal just mentioned, like, the heads didn't go down like we've seen in the opening fixtures of this season. I think there's a little bit more resilience there. We fought our way back into this match, and in particular in the second half to go and win the penalty and get back into this game. You know, we started creating a lot more chances on Monday night in the very same way. And I think that's probably the most influential part you're probably seeing from Burnsy and Gartz, that they've instilled a little bit of confidence into that team, that when we go behind, it's not catastrophic. Like we've seen heads go down, suddenly there's a ton of mistakes. We can't play our way out of our own half, and we're gifting the opposition possession and opportunities. That doesn't seem to happen as often anymore, like we've seen over the last 3-4 games, however the boys have been in charge. Like, that's something, at least for the new management team, to build on as well. So if Darragh can show a little bit of form, because to be fair, what we need right now is players standing up like that.
Yeah.
And saying that, you know, I want to be in this team. I'm good enough to be in this team. And I don't think at the start of the season we had too many options, or Stephen O'Donnell was stuck in a bit of a rut of he was damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. Because when he completely changed the team, we still didn't have any fluidity in that team that we could point the finger and say, he made too many changes. And then other times we'd be saying, we didn't make enough changes. So it's, you know, it was between a rock and a hard place for him towards, I think, maybe with the change in management, we're probably seeing maybe a little bit, players with a little bit more freedom.
Yeah, I think there definitely is that kind of shift towards, you know, although Barnsley's been on the sideline with Stevie, there definitely is, like, right, like, you know, I don't know if it's an attitude shift with the players or the way the lads are talking to them, but it seems to be more of a kind of express yourself. I don't mean that's probably cliche, but it seems to be more of a, like, you know, we set this up a certain way, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to go out and do it. You know, that type of way, it's probably not as rigorous and as kind of tactile and, you know, robotic. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but it seems to be a bit more, you know, the lads are given a bit more freedom to do what they want. Like, even if you mentioned it was, my next point was going to be Jamie Gullen, and, you know, Jason Crawley's brought it up. I thought tonight, you know, although he's been on the ball probably more tonight than I've seen him all season, but he's probably been that out of the loop, and I'll probably put this to you, Donald. He's been that out of the loop kind of in the final third. He almost forgot what his job was. You know, he's run into the box once or twice. He's failed to get the ball out from his feet. He's failed to cross the ball at the right time, maybe pick a pass a little bit too late. But, I mean, it is there. Like, I mean, Jason is right. There is a footballer there, but I think he's just been kind of under the cosh over the last couple of weeks. He's almost lost that little bit of kind of, you know, confidence, or just kind of street footballer that he is, because he can definitely play. I mean, we've seen it tonight that he can play. We've seen it obviously very early in the season in Tala that, you know, about a field he can get about very, very easily. But, you know, are we hopefully going to see that little bit now over the next couple of weeks? I think tonight won't do him any harm.
Yeah, and the one thing you'd be thinking before you know, before tonight was trying to think of chances that he's missed. Like, he hasn't had chances to miss. Like, you can't even say, like, he's, like, he's obviously not the reason we're not scoring any goals. Like, he's part of it. Like, it's a whole team thing. But,
yeah,
you know, like, the chance that he took that was offside was top quality finishing. Like, that's exactly what you want your centre forward to do. Unfortunately, then the one chance that he had after that, when he wasn't offside, that was when you needed him to be the top quality striker.
Donald, I'm just going to have to. I don't mean to cut across it. We're just getting Chris. You might be able to come in on this as well. We're getting breaking news just on it could be anything. I had a different name this morning, but the Irish Examiner's reporting just live and off the ball, or obviously, I don't know what Dan McDonald's thing is called, the late night thing that they do, that Noel King could potentially be the main man for Dundalk at the minute. What do we think? Obviously, a League of Ireland experience, Irish international experience, most recently at Shells. You know, what are we thinking there, lads? What's the, if you don't leave your head in your hands, Chris is going on mute. I'm not really sure. Chris is kind of working. But my phone's actually lit up here. It's Dan McDonald and the boys. I don't know who's on the show tonight, but they're talking about it on the other one. Don't switch to them. Stay with us, lads.
Yeah.
But this seems to be a breaking news just in the last 9-11 minutes.
Right. Well, look, I think Noel King has a vast experience in Irish football. You would say predominantly on the women's side of the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, like he's guided Shells to multiple titles. He's had the international level of management also. I don't know, like he had Katie Taylor in his Irish team, so can we get her? I'll get a bit of fight into this team. That's out of the blue for me now. So, look, it'll be interesting. Maybe we know more, like, what's his management team look like? Who's his number two? Might that tell us a little bit more? Is he the... Have they put him in for a little bit of vast knowledge of the game in Ireland and stuff like that? And that's why he's there. I don't know. Yeah, it's an out of the blue move, that one. I don't know quite how to take that. I have to digest that one now.
I see the comments coming in. My worry. Look, we don't know if this is correct. We just don't know. It's Jerry King from Singly. That's probably the comment of the night. And Mark Carr. That's what my next point would be. The closing date is. This is what I was saying, Mark, like our closing days are 24. So technically, you know, if you've opened up an application and you don't close until the 24th, it'd be interesting. Irish Examiner has it. I don't want to be saying anything about it. He definitely wouldn't have been on the radar for me. If you had to give me 20 managers to name, he probably wouldn't have been in my 20. But it's a strange, I mean, man motivator maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if the lads... If not even Noel King, any manager comes in and has Bonesy and Garth with them, if they're going to stay on, and which I'm sure they probably will. I don't really know, but it's definitely, it's a coup for Noel. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's one of them. Don't Rory, this is what I was going to say. This morning, obviously, we're talking about a possibility of Keith Long, you know, or expression of interest from Waterford that they've turned down. So maybe there's something in that as well. Obviously I had put in a name this morning as well, which seems ridiculous now, so I'm not even going to mention what that name was that I put into our chat earlier on. But I Donald, what do you think? I don't really know.
We're going on this without knowing everything, but one thing that came to my head was that maybe for badges he could be brought in. Somebody is coming in who doesn't have the full set of badges, and he's going to provide cover for somebody. We're talking Jesus Christ. you know, sometimes you'd like to prepare for things on the pod. Like, you know, you watch.
Yeah, I was going to let
the game
run,
or read whatever, but
just interrupt the whole podcast and talk about this. Yeah,
but no, I mean, he hasn't managed.
Yeah, he's been involved with the Ireland. He must have been. Yeah, he got to be a decade in the women's under 21s.
2003 was he was manager of Finn Harps.
God, I forgot that.
Like, that's it. And look, we can't. I guess we don't know what the real story is here. We don't know whether he's actually getting the job. We don't know what the thinking is behind him getting the job. I would be very interested to hear the thinking behind him getting the job, if he does get it. So, look, all we can do is just wait and see, and then just get behind whoever the manager is, you know?
Chris, would you, as Donald said, would you think it's a badges, or is there a method in the, like, you know, Dave Mackey is still on board at Oriel Park and he would have his pro license, and I know he's all involved in the development end of things, but
yeah,
you know, it's definitely left field.
It's definitely left field, and it's like the complete opposite of Stephen O'Donnell, like giving, you know, young, hungry manager to like a, you know, a late 60s, well experienced manager. So it's the complete opposite. Is it short term thinking? Is this only a short contract to the end of this year? We don't know the ins and outs of anything here, so we're really guessing. You know, but like I've had a quick look at Noel, just because I'm struggling to think. I can think of, you know, more recently in
struggling. Yeah, you're struggling to think what he looked like.
You're having a look at him. He's in the car. Thinking,
like, so between like 20, you know, between the 2000s and 2013, he's been an international. So 13 years in international management. So that's a fair chunk between the women's, the under 21s. And then came in for a short term in the interim in 2013, but he actually did play for Dundalk in the 82-83 season. Played 25 and scored 2 goals from the middle of the park. So
that's correct.
At least it's somebody that knows the club in that sense as well, as well as obviously in his early days. Like, I also remember him from managing Shamrock Rovers, back probably in the. God, that must be in the 90s, I'd say, was it?
Yeah, gotta be. Yeah.
For it as well. So, like, look, this is a man with, I suppose, vast League of Ireland experience. It did say that he was attached to Home Farm currently. So.
That's right, he is. I think he's the head of. He was appointed head of. Is he head of recruit, head of development, or youth development at Home Farm? Donald's on the whiskey there. If ever there was a time to bring in a bit of whiskey, Donald. Look, at least I suppose we're having a conversation about a potential manager, I suppose, if nothing else. And like, I do like Ryan Max, I'd like to see the cut of the under 69 applicants. Like, that's another one as well. So, like, you know, of the people who applied, is it something that, you know, it's a stopgap? Is it till the end of the season, I wonder? Look,
It throws up a lot of those questions, doesn't it? It throws up what's the whole management team structure going to look like? How long are they thinking? How long is these contracts for? You know, as I said, there's a lot to think about there in that as well. There's probably more questions than answers. So for everyone else watching in, apologies that we know more than anyone else does. But, you know, if Noel King is the appointment, then, you know, I suppose, is Roddy Collins unlucky not to get the job?
it's definitely a bit, like, it's not as left field as some of the names I've heard, but it's, yeah, look, I just find it, I find it strange. It would definitely be strange. Look, obviously, we're only finding this out in the last couple of minutes. I didn't even get to talk about our goal yet. I haven't even got that far in the game.
Anymore.
What started all this conversation was Gavin McKeever. And then I kind of thought nothing of it. It was like, Gavin's just thrown out as a name there. Gavin being the known normally. And then all this kind of started. And we folded up. And so did we watch, because I had the Bluetooth on. So I said, right, we got to address this very quickly. But look, if you know, applications, Peter Halpin, obviously CEO, was put to the fore the other day in an interview, said it's going to be open until the 24th, is it, Donald? 24th, I think.
Yeah.
25th.
So, yeah, something like that. Is it when the Mark Hart next Wednesday? Is that right? That'd be right, give or take, yeah. Look, it's, I don't know, it is very strange. I don't know what way to take that. I don't know where we left off in the game. It's, I think I was just talking with Jamie Gullen.
This is peak Dundalk. We finally score a penalty. We win a penalty and score it, and there's something else that's happened to take us away from talking about a goal. Typical.
Yeah, it's... we'll quickly jump back to the game if anybody has any more concrete news on that, lads. But yeah, look, I was mentioning Jamie Gullen. I was talking about, you know, in the last third, he definitely had a lot more run tonight. He probably got more touch of the ball tonight than he did in most of the games. But again, that little bit of confidence he has, you know, in front of goal, you know, you're hoping obviously with the penalty tonight he gets a little bit from it. But then even just following on from that, you know, suddenly we're at 32 minutes in this podcast and we only spent about 11 minutes talking about the match after the Noel King announcement. But it's, you know, we seem to come into the game, you know, I you know, one or two of the subs, Ryan has come on, he's definitely provided a little bit of something, but, you know, unfortunately, I think Ryan's kind of under the two boys anyway. Ryan doesn't seem to be getting a start. You know, he seems to be coming off the bench, which is fine. You know, he comes on, adds a bit of pace, you know, frightens the life out of our fullbacks. That's what you want them there for. But, you know, we probably could have, and like I think an earlier, I don't know who it was, Jason Crawley, I can't remember who commented earlier, we probably could have and maybe should have got maybe a winner. I mean, look, albeit Sligo would have been very hard done by, but, you know, we've had decent chances. Little ball, Archie Davis, a little bit of a cross earlier, you know, took a little bit of more time on the ball. But I mean, there probably was a winner there for us. If the game had maybe played in another maybe 3 or 4 minutes, we possibly could have got something. I mean, it got a win. I mean, we obviously got a draw. But...
yeah, I think that not unfortunately, but there was something in when we took Gullen off and put the Prince on. I think it changed the game a little bit. I think for the last 10 minutes, I thought we weren't able to hold. Weren't able to hold possession. Like, that's not necessarily down to the kid up front, but we just sort of lost a little bit of the momentum. And there was an incident, I think, where we got a throw in, I think, up in the Sligo half, and Brindsey came running to try and get the lads to hurry up, and it was Kenny and O'Kane, and they made a ball to it, kicked it straight out and gave the possession straight back to them. Whereas I think what we needed at that point was just to slow things down a little bit. There's still 10 minutes left. There's still plenty of time to get a winner. And I don't know whether it's just an experience or what it was, but I thought we sort of lost our way a little bit once Gullen went off. But you still wouldn't have been too surprised if they'd gotten a goal on the breakaway or just a set piece or something. You know, it was just one of those things. The one thing if you're saying, you know, like, I thought maybe that was a little bit of inexperience from Burnsy on the touchline, but there's one thing that Noel King does have, plenty of experience. Of course, if he actually is the
we don't
manager. We don't know yet. We don't know.
Yeah, it's slowed down the pace of the post match podcast there, boys, hasn't it? There was a bit of a kind of a and then we kind of glided back in.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Chris, you're still with us there. I don't know if you've kind of been able to put in any feelers from the League of Ireland fraternity or any of the main players. But, you know, obviously later in the game, as Donald was saying, lads have come on. Prince Kenny's come on, showing what he can do. I think he's going to be unfortunate, the position we find ourselves in, he's going to now be an automatic massive player for us. I think Dara Keane as well. Obviously, we got Ryan O'Kane coming on. I wanted to mention, you know, I think Mark Carlin put up, I just don't find the comment now. There we go. We're talking about Daryl Hogan. You know, the positives that he gives us, but he also has that little bit of frailty in him at the minute that he hasn't really hit the ground running. He has some mistakes and a little bit of pass, some touches, some kind of not so crosses, I suppose, the best way to put it. But is that something that the lads or whoever comes in needs to kind of stamp out really quickly in order to get the best out of a player like that in the jersey?
Yeah, look, I don't think anyone doubts Daryl's ability. But at the moment, it just seems like he's sometimes trying to do too much. He's like, he always wants the ball and wants to be the one to create the chance. And I think we would benefit more, and maybe Daryl might benefit more, if we have other creative avenues in the team. Might benefit him. That takes a little bit of pressure off him. So when he's finally on the ball, he can maybe take a little bit more time to pick the right pass, instead of, I think over the past few games, and definitely so far this season, what we've seen is Daryl's just been so eager to unlock something that he sometimes just overhits or overplays a pass to somebody, and it just hasn't clicked like we've seen it before with Daryl. But, you know, you've just mentioned Owen Kenny coming on, you know, Ryan O'Kane coming on. It was not that long ago we talked about, where is the conveyor belt of young Dundalk players?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we've three of them coming into to the starting 11. Or to the, should I say, one in the starting 11 in Mayoa and two coming off the bench. So, like, that's a vast change in how we've played. Like, we were nearly begging for Senan Mullen to get a chance last year. We're like, come on, the lad's good enough, get him in the team. And now we're seeing, you know, three regulars, hopefully now a bit more with Owen Kenny actually getting into this team and, you know, pushing for hopefully starting positions. So, like, that's a big, big change from this team as well. And then I think your other point at the very start on all of that was about Jamie Gunnan just probably coming more into the match. I think from the Pats match was, you know, that was the first time I'd seen him get, you know, a high level of touches and be more involved in the game. He was a lot more involved in the Bulls match as well. He just didn't seem to have the courage to take a shot. So I'm glad, you know, that he was getting involved, and was obviously he won the penalty as well for us, you know, by being in the box, and that's where we're going to see the best for him. And to be fair, it was a decent penalty as well. And if he's got one thing in his locker, it seems to be a set piece, whether it's a free kick or now a penalty. He it's good to have a penalty taker back in the team.
I think, yeah, I think we're going to have to readdress. We're just going to cut from this. So I'm just going to put a little ticker tape across the banner, the bottom of the screen here, boys. So we have there's breaking news. We have obviously the Noel King news, and then we have James Rogers confirming that Noel King will be confirmed as the Dundalk manager next week. So that is a confirmation. So that's, it's no longer kind of rumor. It seems to be a done deal. So I've done a lovely little ticker tape across the bottom there. Check it out, Sky News, lads. So lads, what now we can probably have a conversation about it, because it seems to be a done deal. What are we? This ticker tape may come back to haunt us, but it seems to be confirmed, as somebody's just put up there. Ryan Mack has confirmed it as well. Don't you just pour yourself an extra two fingers of whiskey there.
I have the bottle beside me, we're all good.
So yeah, lads, look, it's what do we make of it now that it's kind of seems to be a done. I don't know. Reggie, obviously, James Rogers, obviously, involved in the podcast. I would reach out to him, but he might not come on to this one. But at such short notice,
he might need a minute.
He might need a minute, yeah, as he types it all up. But look, it's, you know, there's Rory. Oh, people listening this back, I'm going to see these comments. Chris, confirmation, it seems.
I'm getting a confirmation card and I'm putting 20 quid in it. Is that's how sure we are about this, right?
Well, it seems to be it's up, and it seems he's going to be a new boss next week. Yeah. Say that again.
We're announcing him on the steps of St. Patrick's.
On St. Patrick's, yeah. We're going to go again. Yeah.
With his little confirmation badge, and this is happening.
Look, it could be, and like you said, Chris, if this is to be, you know, if this is to come to pass, you know, it is someone completely different than what we've been used to. So, you know, It's a shot in the dark, I suppose, but is it something maybe that's needed, someone, a bit of a man motivator? I don't really know. I don't know if this team is old enough and experienced enough to maybe deal with someone like that. But I suppose we're going to find out, aren't we?
Pick the brains of Donal on this, and I'm going to jump back in 2 seconds. And if I can get somebody or I can get more information, I'm going to jump back in. Give me two.
Yeah, if you can get Noel King on, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Happy enough to interview him. Donal.
Yeah, Chris is going to be calling up people's houses out in the car and like asking if they want to confirm the story.
We do, and just for context, folks, we'd only planned on about a half an hour podcast tonight because I was so short. And here we are now. We're just getting started, really. But look, Donal, you know, obviously, it's not confirmed by the club, but it seems to be James Rodgers isn't usually too far off the mark when it comes to this type of thing. And he's put his ring into the hat here on Twitter. And, you know, a man motivator, I suppose, with the right coaching staff, you know, it is something completely different. Whether it's, look, time will tell if it's going to work. Like Daniel said, you know, he hasn't managed, you know, like it's been so long. I mean, and some of the names that have been thrown out are even longer. Some of the names that we've heard haven't managed in even a longer term than that. So, yeah, where do we go from here? Yeah, here's the whiskey.
It's not good enough. If this is what actually happens, and it is just a case of he is the manager of the team by himself for the rest of the season, there's gonna have to be questions asked how it's come to him. It's nobody else. What's the thinking behind it? Now, look, we'll all obviously still go and support the team and all. It's not like I've just completely lost the will to live. But I'm looking forward to hearing the explanation for this, is all I'm saying, if this is the choice. I don't think they're too far down the line to not get relegated. Like, I think there's a chance they can stay in the league.
Yeah.
I can only think, like, the Keith Long thing this morning.
Yeah, yeah. And that's such a contrast, yeah.
Yeah, and the idea of, like, if they were interested in Keith Long, and I was actually put a message in the group about this, and messaged Fingo about it as well. It's like, you would assume they would have approached Keith Long separately, like, get word around official channels and be like, would you be interested in this if we push Waterford, would you come and manage the team? So either they didn't do that and they just asked Waterford to talk to him and they said no, and they said, right, look, that's our set of ideas, let's go get Noel King.
Yeah.
Or there's something, there just has to be some sort of explanation. This is just so shocking. I did see, like, the home farm connection maybe with the owner, and maybe he just does think it's just a case of, look, we have to get someone in who knows what they're doing, knows how to manage a football team. But
do you think, I think probably a mistake that the club made was saying that there were 70 applications for the job. Like, you know, that would have to be 70 coaches with pro license even to be considered.
You know,
that's pretty decent.
Yeah,
and we're not here to hammer Noel King. We don't know how this is going to work. You know, we don't even know.
No.
We don't know how this is going. This could be. We could be sitting here in a couple of months going, wow, what an appointment.
Yeah, we could be singing his praises. We could say, look, we got absolutely piss drunk the night this was announced for no reason. he's the good times are back. Noel King's going to bring trophies back to Oriel. And look, if that does happen, that's amazing. But it just is not the instinct that it's not the instinctual reaction that absolutely everybody has had. This is a weird one where, like, you don't want to be Jesus. We don't want to be sort of actively try not to be massively critical of the football club because there's not just any point. But like, we just don't want to do that. So we want to hear what the explanation is. We want to hear the rationale for this. The thing about the 70 applications, like, that's saying out loud in public that there's been 70 applications does just really stink of desperation. They're like, no, plenty of people want this.
Yeah.
Whether they might have been trying to smoke somebody out, who knows? Maybe it was just the thing of trying to, maybe this announcement is trying to smoke somebody out. Maybe this is trying to get somebody who really wants the job to make a move. But maybe it is to get Keith Bogg to move. It's not going to work, I don't think.
not if next week comes and he's still in the water.
Fuck me. There must be some sort of explanation for this.
And Shane raised a good point really there as well. You know, it could be a budget issue. It could be something, you know, it could be a budgetary thing where we, you know, kind of, I don't know whether, obviously because they've released even, they would have had to pay, you know, is compensated. I don't know, you know.
But like you wouldn't have asked for that much money, would you? Like,
no, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Like your salary expectations weren't off the charts. Like, you know, it could have just been like, yeah, look, we can't get Keith Long Galley in, you go.
I would have done it for nothing. I would have walked the games.
You would have been just back on the podcast every week.
Yeah, look, it's caught us a little bit off guard, folks. I mean, experience, yes. You know, I'm trying to run through the players in my head that won't have a clue who he is. Because there's a lot of them coming up from on loan. You know, obviously he's got a good standard in youth players and stuff like that. It would be, he's in the ladies' game for the last couple of years. I think 2003 we're talking, like Shane Kelp, and Chris mentioned as well. Chris has popped back on. Chris, have you any update for us?
His door is live from the...
Yes, hello, it's Chris here in the field. Can you hear me?
Chris, go for Chris.
Yes, I don't know more.
none the wiser.
No one got back to me on anything, so that was really disappointing. I nearly didn't want to come back on and be empty-handed, but it looks that way.
Mark Cowan is still insistent. Mark, you carry on that banner. The closing date is Wednesday. It's still Wednesday. Keep it going. Get that up in the San Siro there on the screen. Look, this is what we're dealing with. But look, like we said, we were talking, Chris, we don't know. This could be, it could be nothing. It could be... Donald has it as a smoke screen to smoke someone else out.
I don't. Just... the best possible explanation I come up with for this being the appointment is that maybe there's something I don't understand. But
could it be not a budgetary option, Chris?
Yeah, it could. I mean, you know, in whatever role he has in home farm, obviously we'd be paying a lot more than that. It's just strange, you know, as, you know, early in the day, you know, obviously... a report came out saying that we had made our approach for Keith Long and that Waterford had rejected that. So if this is a smokescreen, is this one of them, yeah, but I didn't want you anyway moments? And you go and you kiss their best friend sort of a thing? I don't know. It's a strange one. Look, and obviously we're going on speculation here, but... look, if this is the appointment, I suppose I'd be very interested to see what his whole management team looks like. And hey, if Noel King comes in, lads, and starts turning this ship around, I'm all for it. Anyone that gets us, you know, if Noel comes in, say this weekend, and for the Bulls match, we score a home goal and we win the match.
But that's it. He just needs one goal and to keep a clean sheet in the same 90 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all we're looking for, really, at the minute, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not really. We're looking for him to keep us in the league.
I know, yeah. But just for next, we take one game at a time, Donald.
Yeah, but...
stop forward thinking.
No. No. Can't just...
No, but that, yeah, you're right, Donald. But that is the remit. I mean, if he wants to come in, if any manager wants to come in, your job now is to keep this team in the Premier Division. That is the focus, isn't it? That's... so it's obviously a big enough job that they're willing to, you know, he's willing to take on, or whoever's willing to take on. It doesn't matter who it is. That's the role. Yeah. It's not to kind of come in and say, right, let's steady the ship. There's no steadying the ship. You got to get it above water. You know, it's sinking. You know, you got to keep it there. You got to get it up. I mean, what are we talking? How many points are we off? Even the next team up. You know, it's.
We're trying to get ourselves ahead of Drogheda to be in the playoff spot. Like, it's Sligo that's above them, but we're, you know, would have been a big result to get 3 points against them tonight because you get closer to them, obviously. But I'm really sorry that I'm just really, really, really struggling with trying to understand what the fucking hell is going on. And I've cursed a lot, and I'm really sorry, but it's not even the whiskey's fault.
And as Rory puts it, that's what it is. It's a punt, isn't it? It's a punt from the owner. It's something that it's a do or die type of scenario, isn't it? And look, I don't think we're that far into the league that you can kind of say, right, well, it's written off. Let's just get someone in. You know, there's plenty of football to play in this league. Like, geez, Rooney, are we a third of the way? We're not even.
No. You just went past the quarter mark there in the season. On Monday night, so it definitely not. I think there's plenty of football still to play here. The only thing you would say is, and it's what me and Steph mentioned on Monday night, like, whoever does come in, you have these players until the next transfer window.
Yeah.
So you also need a manager who can work with what's there and get something from it. So that's the real key thing, that, you know, has he seen enough, or has Noel King put enough forward to say, you know, he has a motivation plan to push on this Dundalk squad? I think it's funny, you listen to Kieran Kilduff there on the last podcast there a few weeks back. Like, he said, you know, Dundalk is still a attractive club to want to manage, because everybody knows if you do well, the place is rocking like no other ground. You know, if it goes well, it can be really, really good. You know, the thing about it is it's just been cut such adrift at the start of the season that the time for a bedding in time or a process is minuscule. If not non-existent, because we gained a point on Drogheda tonight, but it's only a point.
Yeah.
Are we still 4 points behind them? I think so. I think they're on 9 or something like that, and I think we're on 5, am I right?
Yeah, but we still have to play Drogheda 3 times, it's like 2 more times, and play Waterford 3 times. Like, there's so many points against the teams around you that are still there on for the taking.
Yeah. Bo's coming on Monday. Like, I saw, or on Friday, I saw nothing of them on Monday night to say that you can't put it up to them next Friday.
Yeah, and then you've got a run of games there. You've got 3 now in the next, what are we talking, 10 days? 10, no, not 10 days, but 2 weeks. You've got the 26th, you've Dundalk, Shelburne on the 3rd, and you've a double weekend, so the 3rd and the bank holiday weekend, the 6th, Drogheda on the 6th as well. That's the bank holiday Monday. So there's plenty of football over the next couple of, you know, there's 5 games in the next 4 weeks. So plenty of points up for grabs, as, you know, as Donald says.
Was Damien Duff in the interim squad that Noel King managed for when he was Ireland manager? Well, that doesn't really matter, does it?
No. John O'Shea was, though. Remember the goal? Duff, I don't think so. Was he?
That doesn't really matter, does it?
Shouldn't he bring him in as his assistant?
I'm just saying, maybe he knows something. Might have a bit of Duff. Might not want to beat one of his heroes.
That's it. This is it.
Yeah.
Donald, will we attempt to pick a man of the match? Will we attempt to give someone a pizza?
I genuinely can't even remember what game
who you're playing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it did finish 1-1, didn't it?
It did finish 1-1, yeah. We might as well try and give someone a pizza just to cheer everybody up.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you want to find someone That makes sense. I will second that.
Just, we're just going to attempt to give someone a pizza just to kind of get the ball rolling here off the Noel King situation.
Too late. I'm after getting. I feel like I'm actually on Sky Sports here, and I'm looking at Dharmesh looking down at his phone. I've just had confirmation this is happening.
And you can't say who.
I can't reveal my source. But let's just say they can't come on to the podcast because their phone is just going nuts right now. But I might have sent them a message earlier on. But I think we all know who that is. And yet he just said that it is definitely happening. So this could be confirmation this weekend, if not tomorrow, of Noel King's appointment. So there we go.
Well, look, I suppose we got to get behind it. I mean, there is no, like, Donald's, you know, like you said, Chris, Oriel Park's rocking. We can't really, look, this is what we have to deal with. It'll be interesting to see, like you say, and like I think Donald said as well, it'll be interesting to see who comes on the sideline with him. But this is what we're dealing with, and this is, look, we can only wish Noel the best, and we can only wish them all the best. It has completely caught us off guard. It's not even like if we just sat here and gave five guesses each, you know,
nowhere near.
There would have been 10 other kings ahead of him. The king of fucking Spain would be more likely to be the manager than him. Sorry. I know him.
Yeah, look, Chris, we were going to attempt to have our man of the match pizza anyway, just to get the people off the news and maybe give them a pizza to divulge the breaking news this evening. So I just started off very, very simply. I'm going to go straight in just on the second half performance. I'm going to go for Darragh Keane. I thought he was excellent coming in, having not played full 90 minutes. I thought he was excellent. You know, one or two others, you know, playing decent. I thought Jamie Gullen had a decent second half as well. I wouldn't have him right up there at that level, but I think he's, you know, if we can get that from him over maybe 60-70 minutes, I think he's going to be very consistent as the season goes ahead. He could be very important for us. But yeah, no, Darragh Keane for me. Donal, go for it. You can't say Noel King.
I apologize if it looks like I'm having NAM flashbacks when I'm sitting here. I thought Jamie Gullen was very, very good. I thought the Zacks were very good, apart obviously the little slip up for the goal. Darragh Keane did the change to bring him on did change the game. So I guess in terms of a player that's impacted the game the most, you'd say it was him. So we'll just say Darragh, yeah. Why not?
Christopher.
Can we not give it to Noel?
Wait, we might give him a bag of chips.
On the steps of St. Patrick's.
If he comes in next week and we turn over bows, we send Noel King a pizza.
Noel King's any white army! I'm all on board. Give it... I haven't seen anything. So, yeah, Darragh Keane, why not? I should have been the brave hair. That's all I've seen tonight.
I'm just looking through the comments here to try and find. We do have a few. I think we kind of lost in translation. We lost a lot of people off the man of the match once this kind of news broke in the last 30 minutes. So there are very early comments.
Gave it to Noel King. You should have given it to him.
Yeah. No. We will go with who we see. We will go. I'm just trying to find someone who. I'm trying to find a few people that mentioned Darragh Keane. We will go with Davy English.
David,
there we go. Man of the match, pizza for yourself. Contact Vinny in Tony's Pizzeria. Get yourself some chips, Coke. Hopefully get you back up next week and we can talk about Noel King's first win. Or we can even have a small interlude of breaking news podcast during the week when the announcement's made. I hope we're all invited up to Oriel Park for the press conference. But yeah, look.
I don't think we will be.
Just to sum up tonight, folks, it's a draw in the west of Ireland. We've gone 30 minutes, probably longer than we were expecting. Chris, tuning in from the M1 on the new 5G phone. Well done. Don't lay off, you know, just finish that glass of whiskey.
Oh, that's gone already.
Don't go too mad. Frank, you've hit the nail on the head. What a comment to end the show on. Being a Dundalk supporter is hard. There is nothing harder in life at the minute, lads. King Kenny to Noel King. Yeah, look, it's going to be one of those, lads. But look, if that is to be the case, and it has been confirmed by two different sources, we'll sit here next week as a podcast for the Noel Kings Dundalk Football Club. So we'll see everybody. Thanks to our sponsor, thanks to our sponsor, Dundalk Village.
Oh, thank God.
Pizza and Rio. Playoff hit for the Geo. And I suppose, you know, I don't really know what else there is to say, lads, but, you know, we have to get back behind the manager. And go on.
Can I give us the going out bit?
Go for it.
Right. Thanks everyone for all the comments and for breaking the news tonight. And we here on the Townhead Podcast would like to welcome in the new High King of Oriel Park.